On Monday night, I was one of the journalists participating in the Maryland Democratic Attorney General candidates debate with moderator and University of Baltimore School of Law Dean Ronald Weisch at the University of Baltimore's Angelos Law Center. You're about to hear candidates Delegate Aisha Braveboy, representing the 25th District from Prince George's County, Senator Brian Frosch, attorney in private practice and representative from District 16 in Montgomery County, and Delegate John Cardin, representing District 11 in Baltimore County. The others joining me on the panel that evening were Roberto Alejandro from the Afro and Jeff Barker from the Sun. Early voting has already begun, and the primary takes place on Tuesday, June 24th. To find out where you can vote, visit the Maryland State Board of Elections website at elections.state.md.us. Here's Delegate Aisha Braveboy.
I'm Delegate Aisha Braveboy, and I've been a practicing attorney for nearly 14 years. And I've represented the 25th District for 8 years. I currently chair the Legislative Black Caucus of Maryland and also the Consumer Protection Subcommittee for the Maryland House of Delegates. Today, I wear this blue, navy blue and teal ribbon, symbolizing two important issues facing not only our state, but our international community, and that is the issues of human trafficking and of sexual assault. And while the issue has come to light as a result of the 276 young women who were ripped from their families in Nigeria, we all know that the issue of human trafficking and the sexual assault plague our communities here in Maryland. And as your next Attorney General, I promise and I commit to you to work to end sexual assault in the state of Maryland and to work to end human trafficking both interstate and intrastate. Perpetrators of these crimes will know that they will not be tolerated here in this state of Maryland. They will be aggressively prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. You know, my campaign has focused on the bread and butter issues that face Marylanders. For most of us, our wealth is found in our homes and in our jobs. And I'm proud to have the endorsement of the Washington and Baltimore Building Trades Council and the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, who I've worked with to raise the minimum wage. But in this state, we know that women still make 80 cents on a dollar, and we know that workers are still being misclassified and not paid their full wages. As the next Attorney General, I will enforce our wage and hour laws and ensure that we're paying everyone not based on their gender, but based on their work. Thank you.
Thank you, Delegate Braveboy. We will now hear an opening statement from Senator Brian Frosch.
Thank you, Dean Weisch. Thanks to the University of Baltimore for hosting us, and thank you all for being here. I've traveled all across the state in the past year and a half, and wherever I am, I hear the same themes. People want to feel safe in their neighborhoods. They want clean air to breathe. They want clean water to drink, and they want equal opportunity. They want a shot at the American dream. They want a quality education for their kids. And those are the things that I've spent my career fighting for. 35 years as a practicing attorney, 28 years in the Maryland General Assembly, and I've had great success. I'm the author of the Maryland Recycling Act, the author of the law that stopped the oil companies from drilling for oil and gas in the Chesapeake Bay, the author of laws that protect consumers from cheats and frauds and help them save their homes from foreclosure, and as chairman of the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee, I've had the honor and the opportunity to lead through the General Assembly a series of landmark laws, laws that protect victims from domestic violence, the Marriage Equality Act, the repeal of the death penalty, the Firearm Safety Act. That's what I threw my heart and soul into last year. It is a law that will keep guns out of the hands of criminals, off our streets, and it'll save lives across our state. As Attorney General, I will show up and work hard for you every day. And I will continue to fight to make Marylanders safer, at home, in school, online. I'll stand up for consumers and working families, and I will crack down on polluters. I'll give voice to the voiceless. In short, I'll be the people's lawyer. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator Frosch. And now we will hear an opening statement from Delegate John Cardin.
Thank you, Dean Weisch, and to the University of Baltimore, and to the panelists, and thank you all for being here. We live in a rapidly changing world. I'm running for Attorney General to keep Marylanders two steps ahead of those new threats facing our families. 30 years ago, when you thought about public safety, it was about crime in the streets. When you thought about consumer protection, it was about making sure you bought a safe new car. When you thought about environmental protection, it was about keeping trash out of the ocean. When you thought about civil rights, the road to equality, the road to equal pay for equal work, the road to stamping out racial profiling was long and nearly impossible to navigate. And those issues are still with us today. Crime in the streets, trash in our bay, con artists and bigots are still out there. But the world has changed with the internet and other new technologies that exacerbate old problems. They give criminals new methods of exploiting you. So while reduction of violent crime is still our number one priority, we also have to think about cybercrimes like hacking and online privacy and other cybercrimes. We have those age-old issues of consumer protection, but we also, like, for example, onerous utility bills or lead-laced toys that are coming in from China that your children are chewing on. But we also have those new issues like websites that are stealing your credit card numbers or phishing for personal information. We still have to get trash out of our bay. We also have to think about carbon emissions and their impact on climate change. And today's struggle for for civil rights includes not only stamping out racial profiling, but we also have to stamp out domestic violence and make sure that voter ID schemes are not taking away your right to vote. As one of the most progressive and pragmatic legislators in the General Assembly, as a general practice attorney, and as an unapologetic supporter of democratic principles, I am uniquely qualified to tackle these next generation issues without losing sight of those old and persistent problems. I'm excited about this race. I'm excited about protecting you. Thank you.
Thank you, Delegate Cardin. The first question for our candidates will be posed by Roberto Alejandro from the AFRO and will be answered first by Delegate Braveboy, then by Senator Frosch, and then by Delegate Cardin.
Thank you. The first question deals with your qualifications for the Office of Attorney General. All three of you have served in the General Assembly, and all three of you are experienced attorneys. Please speak about your experience as legislators and as attorneys and how it would inform your work as Attorney General.
Thank you so much for that question. You know, as a legislator, I co-sponsored bills to give homeowners protections against foreclosure. But as an attorney, I'm the only candidate running for this office that's stepped up to the plate and represented families on a pro bono basis who wanted to stay in their homes. I did that for several years, and I continue to help other attorneys get trained and become pro bono attorneys to assist families. You know, as a legislator, I raised the dropout age in the state from 16 to 18 because what I understood is that young people needed to stay in school so that we can end this thing called mass incarceration. But as an attorney, I have served as pro bono counsel for the last 10 years to a juvenile diversionary program that has diverted over 3,000 young people out of the criminal justice system and on a path to success. In addition, I've worked very hard with our homeowners associations and condo associations as a legislator, giving these members additional protections. But as an attorney, I've represented cooperative owners who were being treated unfairly by their housing cooperative. You see, I practice what I preach. I practice what I legislate. And it is because I practice that I know the need to reform and change laws here in the state of Maryland. And as Attorney General, I will continue to protect the people here in this state.
Thank you, Delegate Braveboy. Now, Senator Frosch.
Thank you. I've been practicing law for more than 35 years. I've been named by U.S. News and World Report as one of the best lawyers in America. I take on tough problems in the General Assembly, and I get them done. I get them solved. I lived through the Senate, the reform of the foreclosure laws. We had the fastest foreclosure process in the United States. That's good for banks, not good for homeowners. We fixed that. We gave homeowners more of an opportunity to cure their defaults, better notice, and an opportunity to negotiate with their lenders. I show up every day and I work hard. And that's in sharp contrast to John Cardin, who missed more than 75% of the votes in the House Ways and Means Committee this year. And his explanations for this have shifted and changed, but the fact is that he has the worst voting record in committee of any member of the House of Delegates. That's last out of 141. And it's not just this year. There's been a pattern. Last year, he missed more than 20% of the votes. the year before. We had a special session in 2012. We were there for one reason, casinos. We had to vote on the casino bill. It was assigned to the Ways and Means Committee. It was controversial. There were many amendments, and John didn't show up to vote. I can promise you that as Attorney General, I will be there, I will work hard, and I will solve the tough problems that the office faces.
Okay, I'm going to exercise my prerogative as the moderator to give Delegate Cardin an extra minute to rebut the specific allegations from Senator Frosch. As a result, Delegate Cardin is to be given two and a half minutes, 1 minute rebuttal plus his 90 seconds to answer the question.
Thank you very much, Dean. Senator Frosch, you know how it works in Annapolis. It's disingenuous and intellectually dishonest to suggest that I missed 75% of the work, and you know that. For those of you who are not Annapolis insiders, let me remind you how it does work. All the markups, all the amendments that we vote on, all the debate happens in subcommittee. I have 100% attendance and voting record in subcommittee. In fact, I have a greater than 90% attendance record in my 12 years in the General Assembly. There was not, in fact, a single bill that was affected by my missed votes. Like every working parent, I strive to balance between my job and my family. I did 100% of the work for the citizens of my district. Then I went home to address the health concerns of a pregnant wife during a rocky first trimester. You know that. But since we're speaking about missed votes, I want to know why, Senator Frosch, you abstained when your committee voted to require criminal background checks for employees at daycare centers. I want to know why you abstained when your committee voted to increase the maximum penalty for a person convicted of rape in the second degree, for a child under the age of 13. Why do you duck these votes? But let me go on to the differences between us. I have 14 years of experience as an attorney. I am a general practice attorney. When children are being harmed in schools, I am not afraid to sue a school system because they're being bullied or taken for granted. When energy companies are trying to put explosive gas pipelines under people's properties, under their porches, I am not afraid to go after them and make sure that they understand that Maryland's going to do something about that. I've spent my career dealing with the civil rights of individuals as the chairman of the Election Law Subcommittee for the last 8 years. I have re-enfranchised thousands of voters whose rights to vote have been taken away. Those are the kinds of things that I have done as the chairman of the Election Law Subcommittee and as a lawyer. I'm excited about this race because I'm excited about talking about the issues. Who's here to protect the citizens of Maryland? Who's here to use their legal skills and their legislative perspective to make sure that every Marylander is treated with equality and with protection? Thank you.
Thank you, Delegate Cardin. I'm going to give Senator Frosch 1 minute to rebut the allegations from Delegate Cardin.
Thank you. Look, I've long had reservations about mandatory minimum sentences. It turns out I'm not alone anymore. The Attorney General of the United States is opposed to mandatory minimum sentences. Republicans on my committee and throughout the nation are opposed to mandatory minimum sentences. I think they're a problem. They've led to the mass incarceration that we suffer from in our country and in our state. But John, you're wrong about the statement you made about subcommittee. You missed 16 out of the 17 votes on bills that were referred to your subcommittee on election laws when they finally came before the Ways and Means Committee. That's not leadership. That's not good attendance. And as I said before, you missed 20% of the votes in 2013, and you missed the only vote in your committee in 2012 in the special session on casinos.
Okay. Let's move on. Second question is going to be posed by Jeff Barker of The Sun, and it'll be answered first by Senator Frosch.
Thanks. This question goes to priorities. The current Attorney General has emphasized environmental protection and internet privacy, among other issues. What would you choose to highlight, and would you consult with a governor of your own party, or would these priorities be strictly your own?
My priorities would be environmental protection, consumer protection, and public safety, equal opportunity as well. And I would say that you can see these priorities reflected in my work in the General Assembly, especially as chair of the Judicial Proceedings Committee. I'll be implementing, as Attorney General, many of the laws that I wrote or led through the General Assembly, and let me give you some examples. I added language to the Firearm Safety Act that we just passed last year that gives our state police oversight over gun dealers in this state, because we know that 1% of the gun dealers sell 60% of the guns that are used in crimes. As Attorney General, I'll enforce that law. I know where the bodies are buried. I was the author of the State Brownfields Act. That's the law that has allowed the cleanup of thousands of acres of contaminated industrial sites throughout our state. It was a tough negotiation, but we struck a good balance between the environment and between redevelopment. I know how to get that act to work for the people, to create jobs, to make our water safe, to make the people who live around those sites safe. One more, the False Claims Act, the False Health Claims Act, is a law that I led through the Senate, having sponsored for several years. It's the law that lets the Attorney General prosecute and collect from people who defraud our state on their Medicare charges. I will be aggressive in pursuing and enforcing that law.
Thank you, Senator Frosch. Delegate Cardin, question about priorities.
Thank you very much. And I think, talking about priorities, I have four priorities: public safety, civil rights, environmental protection, and consumer protection. Regarding public safety, we have to make sure to keep our people safe and sound and fight against violent crime. It's got to be our number one priority. Civil rights, we have to make sure that everybody's treated fairly and equally with dignity and respect. Every single Marylander deserves that. In terms of environmental protection, it's not just good enough to clean up our bay. We have to make sure the clean air is breathed by all of our kids, and clean water is drunk by everybody in the state of Maryland. And in terms of consumer protection, if you are wronged, if you're exploited or taken advantage of, you need a place to go. I want to be that place, and I will make sure that my office is available to you. I understand. I think the question, though, Jeff, was about cyber issues specifically, or you actually addressed cyber issues specifically. And I think I understand the issues that will affect our families in the future, and I understand the issues that are affecting them now. I have made it a priority to understand both the promise and the limits of technology in my campaign. The best example of not understanding those limits of technology is Senator Frosch's failed plan to have computers decide who gets a bail and who stays in jail. Senator Frosch proposed what many experts consider a multi-million dollar scheme in which computers would determine somebody's freedom. Now, many other states do, in fact, use computers, but every state in the nation, there's not one other jurisdiction in the nation that relies solely on a computer. That's Orwellian, it's inappropriate, it's a limit to technology, and I just believe that Senator Frosch doesn't understand this.
Senator Frosch, do you want a quick rebuttal before we turn to Delegate Brayboy's answer to the question?
Okay, thank you very much. John, that's the comic book version of a serious, complex issue. On this subject, I sat down with the prosecutors, the public defenders, the heads of our local correctional systems, the Department of Public Safety and Corrections, and the governor's office. And they all helped me put that bill together. They all supported it. The and by the way, so did the Baltimore Sun and the Washington Post. The bill that we came up with would have made our administration of justice fairer and more efficient. It would have saved the state millions of dollars. It would have kept nonviolent offenders out of jail. It would have saved our local correctional facilities millions of dollars as well.
Thank you. Delegate Brayboy, you're answering the question that Jeff Barker posed.
Thank you. The three areas that I would focus on is consumer protection, education, and the preservation of homes and home values here in the state. You know, as chair of the Consumer Protection Subcommittee, I have led and argued for consumer rights on the floor of the House and have passed many progressive bills regarding debt collection companies and cybersecurity and other issues facing our consumers. But let me tell you about an issue that's facing our consumers right now. You know, Maryland led on the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. But guess what's happening now? Insurance companies are trying to make a windfall off the backs of consumers. Do you know that CareFirst, the largest provider of health care here in the state of Maryland, recently proposed another 23 to 30% rate increase over the next few years? This really flies in the face of what the Affordable Care Act was supposed to do. It's there for consumers, not for insurance companies to have a windfall. And as your Attorney General, I will intervene in these types of rate proceedings on behalf of consumers of this state. education. I hope we get further into this question later. You know, Maryland lost a significant civil rights lawsuit with respect to the historically black colleges and universities in this state. It is a travesty that the state of Maryland has been defiant and arrogant in its treatment of historically black colleges. And as the next attorney general, I will counsel the next governor to end this lawsuit, end this litigation, and create a fair and just economic, educational system. Thank you.
Thank you, Delegate Brayboy. Before we get to another question, I'm going to be a little bit of a law professor here. Jeff Barker's question had an element that I think none of the candidates directly addressed, so I'd like them to come back to it, starting with Senator Frosch. Jeff asked whether your priorities would be influenced by the priorities of the governor. To what extent would you be carrying out your duties independently, or would you be the governor's lawyer, at least in part? Senator?
Well, in terms of priorities, I would be acting independently. The Attorney General has to act as counsel to the governor, to all the state departments, to the General Assembly. But the Attorney General has and should have his or her own priorities. I told you what mine would be. I would act independently on them, and I would give good counsel to the governor and try to help the governor obey the law and achieve the best for the state of Maryland.
Delegate Cardin. Thank you. Delegate Cardin.
Thank you. The Attorney General is required by the Constitution to defend the state, and he has to do that. Unless he believes that the law that they're trying to enforce is unconstitutional. If I would, in fact, believe that the law was unconstitutional, I would instruct the governor, the administration, that I will not defend it because I believe that they are on the wrong side on this. And I would make sure that we do our research and we have all of our ducks in a row. And we will, in fact, work with the state to make sure that everything that we do is, in fact, constitutional.
Thank you. And Delegate Brayboy, on that question about independence from the governor?
You know, the attorney general is elected independent of the governor or any other elected representative, and they're elected independently for a reason. The attorney general really is that body and that individual that stands between you as citizens and justice and fairness. And of course, I will work with other elected officials, the governor and others, but it is the trust that you put in me and my judgment that should guide. And I will act independently, although, again, I will give good counsel to both the legislative and executive branches of government.
Thank you. The third question will be posed by Mark Steiner and will be answered first by Delegate Cardin.
Whether it's the chemical plants and incinerator power plants or facilities in three Baltimore neighborhoods like Brooklyn, Curtis Bay, Hawkins Point, they release more than 20.4 million pounds of hazardous air pollutants in those communities and further down. There are now plans underway to locate both waste energy incinerator and ash landfills in those communities. On top of that, you have things like in Brandywine ash storage that's throwing waste throughout parts of Prince George's County in poor rural communities. These are mostly poor working class neighborhoods where people have no voice. So as Attorney General, what's your role? Who do you speak for and how are you going to do it?
Delegate Cardin.
Thank you very much. My first initial reaction to that is that I spent a year and a half, in the University of Maryland dealing with, at the law school, dealing with environmental justice, which is what you're talking about. It's the definition of environmental justice. And what I learned and what I would do as Attorney General is make sure that every single person in the state has a voice and that their needs and that their rights are protected. We have to uphold the regulatory environment of the state to make sure that every single person's health is protected. But we also have to focus on making sure that we're looking ahead to see the problems of tomorrow. So my plan on environmental protection and on environmental justice is this. We have, over the last 9 years, we have reduced the environmental crimes unit from 12 people down to 5, 3 attorneys and 2 investigators. That is ridiculous, and it's got to change. We need to get back up to 12 and perhaps elevate it. In fact, I think we will elevate it to its own separate division. And what I look at is a division that will deal with in 3 different ways. It would be education, mediation, and litigation. First, we have education. We should use the office to make sure everybody understands what these rules are so we can get companies, we can get organizations that are polluting the environment in compliance. If they're not in compliance, but they want to be, we will mediate, we will expeditiously save money and make sure that we are getting people in compliance. And if they are bad actors, they won't do it. We're going to litigate. Okay. I'm usually on the right side on
Thank
that.
Thank you.
That's what I do.
Thank you, Delegate Cardin. Delegate Braveboy.
Thank you very much. You know, in a state like Maryland or really anywhere, you know, your health should not be determined by your race or your socioeconomic status. And there are far too many communities in our state that are plagued by rubble fills, landfills, and other facilities that bring toxins into our environment. So as the next Attorney General, I will enforce environmental justice. And that means our environmental division needs to work in conjunction with our civil rights division, because every person in the state deserves to breathe clean air, have clean water, and live in an environment that is conducive to growth. You know, I understand the issue of placing or having these types of facilities, you know, just crowded into communities. It happens in Prince George's County. It happens in Baltimore City. It happens elsewhere in the state, where people who don't have a strong voice, who are not as wealthy, who are oftentimes disregarded by politicians, get stuck with all of these facilities that are hurting them and causing them to die early. It's a huge problem in our state, one that I absolutely will address as the next Attorney General. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Frosch.
Thank you. First, let me say that the Brownfields Act that I mentioned a few minutes ago is probably the greatest engine for environmental justice that we have, the best tool that we have in the state of Maryland. It's cleaned up thousands of acres of precisely the kinds of areas that you're talking about, contaminated areas that are usually surrounded by less well-to-do people. I've also been a co-sponsor of the Healthy Air Act and the sponsor of the Clean Cars Act, both designed to clean up our air. But the thing that I will do as Attorney General and that concerns me the most as a legislator about the way we handle our environmental problems is that the departments have been cut. Their budgets have been cut. The number of inspectors has been cut. The caseloads of those inspectors has tripled. And what that means is they don't get around to visiting the sites that you're talking about except once every 5 or 6 years. And the policy of the state has often been, you catch them violating the permit, give them a warning. That means that you can pollute for 10 years, for 12 years, without actually ever being sanctioned. When I'm Attorney General, they'll get a warning, but it'll be on the first day I take office. After that, anybody who violates the law will be sanctioned.
That was Senator Brian Frosch. You're listening to Maryland Democratic Attorney General candidates, Delegate Aisha Braveboy, Senator Brian Frosch, and Delegate John Cardin. In a debate that took place on Monday at the University of Baltimore Angelus Law Center, we have to take a very brief break. Stay with us to hear the rest of the debate in just a moment. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and you're listening to The Mark Steiner Show on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. This hour, we've been listening to a debate I participated in on Monday night with Democratic candidates for Maryland Attorney General, Delegate Aisha Braveboy, Senator Brian Frosch, and Delegate John Cardin. It was moderated by University of Baltimore School of Law Dean Ronald Weisch at the University of Baltimore Angelus Law Center, and the other panelists were Roberto Alejandro from the Afro and Jeff Barker from the Sun. Early voting has already begun, and the primary takes place on Tuesday, June 24th. To find out where you can vote, visit the Maryland State Board of Elections website at elections.state.md.us. Now back to the debate.
We'll now have a question from Roberto Alejandro, and it will be answered first by Delegate Braveboy.
This question, broadly speaking, deals with public safety. One of the things that has most impacted public safety in Maryland is the legacy of de jure segregation, which historically limited the possibility of meaningful economic development, especially in our African-American communities, leading to poverty and crime. According to a recent federal district court ruling, Maryland has preserved a vestige of legal segregation in its public higher education system through the practice of program duplication, in which traditionally white institutions duplicate successful programs at historically black institutions, affecting their ability to attract students and funding, and thus limiting their ability to reverse the legacy of segregation in our black communities through a quality education. As Attorney General, how will you advise the state with respect to the constitutional issue of duplication in the Maryland university system?
Delegate Braveboy.
Thank you very much for that question. you know, this issue is very near and dear to me. You know, as a delegate and as chair of the Legislative Black Caucus, I, you know, went to our current governor and said, Mr. Governor, this is before the decision came down. Mr. Governor, the state is wrong here. We're going to lose this lawsuit. But the current administration was very arrogant, very defiant on the issue of program duplication, on the issue of underfunding our historically black colleges and universities, even though historical documents produced by the state showed that programs had been duplicated and that the universities had been underfunded. So now we're in a situation where the parties are in a mediation phase trying to mediate a remedy after the state was found to have violated both the United States Constitution Equal Protection Clause and the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And so as the next Attorney General, I will counsel the next governor to not be as defiant, to actually value educating every child equally. And the issue of program duplication is one that is significant not just here, but all across the nation. And we can be a leader here in the state of Maryland by passing legislation that would absolutely deny the issue of program duplication at other universities, so that historically black college and university programs will not be duplicated by other institutions in the state. We must value every single institution in our state equally.
Thank you. Senator Frosch.
Thank you. The historically black colleges and universities have played a vitally important role in educating our youth in this state, and they will continue to do so. Judge, we have to help them succeed. And Judge Blake found that Maryland is violating the law as it affects the historically black institutions. The Attorney General represents both the HBCUs and the traditionally white institutions. The judge ordered the parties to mediate, and that's the appropriate action here. It's nobody gains if this is played out in court, and this is where I excel. I know how to bring people together. I know how to find common ground. I've done this in the courthouse. I've done it in the state house. I'll do it as Attorney General.
Thank you. Delegate Cardin.
Thank you. And thank you for this important question. So I'm gonna reiterate what it was, because in the beginning, people didn't actually hear. The AG is constitutionally required to defend the state unless he believes or she believes that the action violates the Constitution. So a district court found that unnecessary duplication of programs was exacerbating segregation in our HBCUs, violating the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. I agree with the court. I agree with Judge Blake and would advise the governor not to drop any appeals if he chooses to go there, depending on where it goes. But let me just say this. One of the great shames of the state of Maryland is that 15 years after the Brown versus Board of Education decision, we still had a segregated system of education. But four wonderful schools came out of that: Morgan, Coppin, Bowie, and UMES. And they have given a tremendous amount to our state and to their students. I know this. My grandmother actually worked at Morgan State University for more than 20 years, and she showed me just how much these students and these schools have given to this great state. We would have all been better off if we had taken the lead of Delegate Brave Boy, who has been a champion of making sure that the protection of the HBCUs was a source of a priority for actually empowering the HBCUs instead of a source of litigation. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. If the case is not resolved by the time I become AG, if I'm fortunate enough to do so, I will instruct the parties to make sure that a quick resolution ensues. Thank you.
Can I get a yes-no question from the candidates? If you become Attorney General and the case is not resolved yet, would you decline to defend the state's position in the current mediation and subsequent proceedings? Delegate Brayboy.
I would absolutely decline to defend the state's current position.
Senator Frosch. No applause, please. No applause. Senator Frosch.
I would mediate. I think it's a great opportunity for the Attorney General, because the Attorney General represents both sides. It's a great opportunity for the Attorney General to bring those two sides together, or those 16 sides together, and work it out. This is a case that should be worked out. It should not be settled in court.
And Delegate Cardin.
I read the opinion. I believe that the court is correct. I believe this is a violation of the 14th Amendment, and therefore I would advise the state that we should not appeal this, and we should make sure that a settlement and resolution ensues.
We'll move on, and the fifth question will be posed now by Jeff Barker and will be answered first by Senator Frosch.
A recent poll suggests that most Americans have lost faith in businesses' ability to safeguard personal and financial information. Is there a role, even an educational one, for the Attorney General on this important issue?
Absolutely there is. I'm the author of the law that gives the Attorney General the authority to prosecute cases of identity theft, and that's what's occurring every day. It happens with these hack-ins to credit to institutions like Target, stores like Target, and all over the country. They're difficult to prosecute because often they're occurring outside of our boundaries, outside of our shores. But the Attorney General is the one who is charged with protecting all Marylanders from these kinds of crimes, and I would be very aggressive in prosecuting them. The Attorney General also has, due to legislation that I sponsored, the authority to prosecute violations of the federal laws relating to telephone solicitations that are illegal under the FTC's regulations and that are used to scam people from there as well. So the Attorney General is the first and most important line of defense for most Marylanders. I would be very aggressive in pursuing that line of defense.
Thank you. Delegate Cordon.
Thank you. Just very quickly, the Bureau of Justice Statistics indicated that 16.7 million people in 2012 were impacted by identity theft, costing Americans more than $24.5 billion. It's a serious issue. And it's crime over the internet. And these are issues that the next Attorney General is going to have to deal with and bring together a cooperative group from the Fort Meade and cybercrime community, as well as the local police, local state's attorneys, and the federal authorities to try and understand and get their hands around it. But if you want to talk about protecting Maryland taxpayers, let me remind everyone what Senator Frosch and I told WBAL 2 weeks ago about the failed healthcare exchange. I said that the company that was responsible for that debacle, Noridian, made a contractual promise with the state of Maryland to deliver a functional system, and they broke that promise. I pledged that I would sue them to get back the nearly $100 million of their breach of contract cost the state. Senator Frosch said that if there had been no crime, he wouldn't even bother investigating the company. The job of the AG is to ensure that those who break their contracts pay the state for the damage they caused. Senator Frosch, would you like to change your answer from 2 weeks ago?
Indeed, I'm going to give Senator Frosch 1 minute.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
No, I gave the right answer 2 weeks ago. The question was, do you think that the Attorney General should investigate whether or not there was a crime committed? I said no. I said if the Attorney General thought there was a crime committed, absolutely should investigate. I also said that the Attorney General is the one who is charged with recovering the state's money when there's a breach of contract, as there is in this situation. It remains to be seen how much our losses are, and I can promise you that once that's determined, and once I become Attorney General, I will sue the vendor and recover the state's money.
Delegate Brayboy.
Thank you very much. I absolutely would aggressively prosecute those who are engaged in identity theft and other cyber crimes. You know, as chair of the Consumer Protection Committee, these are issues that I've dealt with over the past few years. And let me tell you about a bill that I led in the passage on the floor of the House, and I argued in support of this year on the floor of the House. It was a bill that would require notification to customers who go into stores where those stores are actually tracking you by using your Wi-Fi. So if you have a handheld, you know, a device like a mobile phone or an iPad or some other tablet, the stores can actually tap into your Wi-Fi and follow you around the aisles. They'll know exactly where you're stopping, how long you're looking at certain items. This is a significant issue. Most of us don't even know that we're being tracked and followed when we go into stores. And do you know that some individuals in the House didn't even want us to notify consumers? We absolutely must protect consumers in this state, and as Attorney General, I will certainly make sure that that's on the top of my priority list.
Thank you. The sixth question will be posed by Mark Steiner and will be answered first by Delegate Cordon.
The highest court in the state of Maryland reached the Richmond decision. First, they said that it was going to, without decision, for those who don't know, was a decision saying that people have a right to a lawyer at their very first bail hearing. As soon as they're there, they have a right to a lawyer. When that first happened, it was said it was statutorily approved. The state legislature jumped in and said, okay, we'll change the statute. We'll talk about your roles in that. And B, then when it went back to court, it was found constitutional law that said, yes, they have a right to a law. The highest people in the state, the governor, the attorney general, president, senate, decided they were going to say, we don't care, we oppose this. And the attorney general at that time, Gansler, put his two best attorneys for 7 years, to fight the right for people to have a lawyer at their first bail hearing. So A, if you were attorney general now, what would you have done instead, or would you have done that? And B, what have you actually done to ameliorate the issue and ensure people's civil rights, that they have a right to an attorney at bail?
Okay, Delegate Cornyn.
At first bail hearing.
Thank you. So to answer the first question, I think it was a good decision by the court. I have been practicing criminal law for the last 14 years, and I understand, I've been in the trenches and understand what, and I'm oftentimes in bail reviews handling these on a day-to-day basis. I understand how important it is for a defendant to have a lawyer at the time of their bail review. This is about freedom. This is about their constitutional right to a lawyer. This is about important constitutional issues. I proposed an amendment on the floor this session to try and deal with this, ameliorate the situation, and come up with a proposal that would actually work and save Maryland millions and millions of dollars. We got a tremendous amount of attention to it. It was to bring Rule 16 attorneys from University of Baltimore, University of Maryland, and perhaps other law schools from the region, along with the supervisors, to come and handle many of these matters and bring panel attorneys to handle the rest of them. This was the right way to go. Unfortunately, as I already mentioned, no other state in the nation uses a computer system to fully determine somebody's freedom. To rely solely on a computer system is Orwellian, it's un-American, and unfortunately, we would be the only place in the entire country to do it. I think that there's a reason why every other state has a human being as the final arbiter. I think that that's a limit to technology, and I would be very concerned with having computers do the whole thing.
Delegate Braveboy.
Thank you. You know, I sit on the House Economic Matters Committee, but I also chair the Legislative Black Caucus. And when this bill was being debated in the House Judiciary Committee, I worked along with other members of the caucus, like Delegate Jill Carter, who's with us this evening, to really look at the issue of fairness and justice in our criminal justice system. In order for our criminal justice system to work, it has to be fair to both the public and to those who are defendants, because there is a presumption of innocence that follows them. And I did a lot of research in this area. I talked to the experts as well. And what I realized is that this tool, the tools that are used in other states, number one, take years to develop. Not 1 year, not 6 months, but 3 or 4 or 5 years. And nowhere in this country does a tool determine whether or not someone will be released, which is called administrative release. The tool is used to inform the judge. The tool provides objective criteria that the judge can use to make a decision. I think that's the right and fair thing to do. I think we have to reinvent what we call our system of justice here in Maryland. We use commissioners at bail hearings, and then at some point a defendant goes before a judge. What we need to actually do is relook at how we deliver justice. We need to look at 24-hour courts. We need to make sure that we are available and open to the public at every stage. Thank you. I'm so sorry. Thank you.
Senator Frosch.
Well, Mark, I took the lead in trying to solve this problem twice. In the first go-around, I think that individuals are absolutely entitled to counsel anytime their liberty is at stake. So I believe that the Court of Appeals decision in the second round of DeWolf versus Richmond was right. In the first round, I didn't have the juice to get counsel at bail reviews before district court commissioners. So what I did was, I got them before district court judges where they didn't have them before. And number two, I added an amendment that gave police the discretion, instead of arresting people and taking them to jail where they would have to go before a district court commissioner and have their liberty determined, I got the police the authority to issue citations instead of making arrests and dragging people off to jail and handcuffing handcuffs. That's reduced overnight stays in our jails by a significant amount in the 2 years that intervened between its first decision and the second one. In the second one, as I said, I brought everybody who had an interest in this together. The plaintiff's attorneys, the folks who were representing Richmond, the folks who were suing DeWolf came in and said they liked the idea that we put together. So did the public defender. So did the courts. So did the prosecutors. So did the Department of Corrections and Public Safety. So did the governor. It was a good solution. It was unusual and it was difficult, but it would have saved us money and it would have meant more people went free earlier.
We have time for another question before a closing statement. So, Roberto Alejandro, would you ask a question that will be answered first by Delegate Brayboy?
This question also touches on the issue of public safety. Gun violence remains stubbornly high, especially in places like Baltimore City. As Attorney General, how will you work to keep guns off the streets of Maryland?
Thank you. You know, we passed a very, you know, aggressive Firearm Safety Act in the state of Maryland. But the reality is most of the individuals and most of the crimes are not being committed by people who are legally obtaining guns, but they're being caused by individuals who are engaged in illegal gun trafficking. And in the bill that we passed, the Firearm Safety Bill that we passed, I actually put an amendment on that bill that would give the Attorney General's office and others the ability to investigate and work collaboratively with local law enforcement to investigate illegal gun trafficking in this state and have a coordinated approach to dealing with this issue. You know, guns just don't come into our state randomly. This is an organized effort to put guns in the hands of criminals in the state. And as Attorney General, I will work with local law enforcement, with the U.S. Attorney's Office, to not only investigate, but also to prosecute those individuals that are bringing illegal guns into our state, that are causing the deaths of young men and women all across our state. This is the most important issue when it comes to public safety that the next Attorney General has to deal with. The Firearm Safety Act was great. It had a lot of great components in it. It talked a lot about, you know, mental health issues and things like that. But illegal gun trafficking is the number one problem.
Thank you, Delegate. Senator Frosch.
I was the leader and the architect of the Firearm Safety Act, and it has a number of important provisions that will make us safe and that the Attorney General can enforce. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, giving the state police the authority to investigate and audit gun dealers is incredibly important for keeping guns off our streets. We had a store in Baltimore County that was charged with 900 violations of federal law, and yet it took the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms 9 years to put them out of business. As Attorney General, I will promise to do everything I can to make sure that someone like that doesn't darken our door again. If they do, they'll be put out of business right away. The Firearm Safety Act also bans the sale of assault weapons, magazine clips with high capacity with more than 10 rounds. It requires, and this is probably the most important provision, it requires fingerprint licensing before you can purchase a handgun. And that by itself will deter people and stop straw purchases. We know that our neighboring jurisdictions, New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, that have laws like this, have lower rates of gun deaths, lower rates of gun violence than does Maryland. So the Firearm Safety Act will help make us safer. As Attorney General, I wrote the law. I'll enforce it.
And Delegate Cardin.
Thank you very much. This is a very important question. First of all, we're all co-sponsors of the Firearm Safety Act. The FBI has indicated that we are the ninth most dangerous state in the nation. It's a serious problem. I wrote a bill that would dedicate all the tax revenue from bullets and from guns to reduce the backlog for the state police because we have let 364 guns go in a gaping loophole in the Firearm Safety Act, which needs to be closed up. And I've worked with the National Association of Attorneys General to learn best practices to make sure that we're cooperating with our federal authorities, our local state's attorneys, our local police, our state police, to bring together everybody to go against violent crime, to fight against the illegal gun trade. But Senator Frosch, you voted against some of the most common sense and practical reforms to protect our children and our families. You tried to kill a bill that would keep child rapists in prison. You've consistently killed bills that crack down on predators who sexually assault children. You killed a task force to study child abuse and neglect. A task force. What great evil could have come from a task force to study child abuse and neglect? I'm sure you have your reasons for voting this way. I think we all deserve an explanation.
Senator Frosch has 1 minute to reply.
Look, I'm a husband. I'm the father of two daughters. There is no one who is more concerned about violence against women or violence against children than I am. I have worked for 28 years in the General Assembly to make Maryland safer. Police, correctional officers, sheriffs, state's attorneys across the state have endorsed me. You've been endorsed by Mr. Ski Money. The fact is, you're recycling smears that my Republican opponent tried 4 years ago. The Washington Post looked at them and called them nonsense.
Dougie Carden, do you want to take any rebuttal on that?
I just think that's one of the sadder features of the campaign to see the depths at which you would try and attack my character. I think you're better than that. I understand that you don't want to discuss the substance of the issues, but let me ask you, Senator Frosch, of some of the decisions that you made. Why did you try so hard to kill Jessica's Law, a bill to abolish parole for violent sexual predators? Can you possibly explain why you delayed the committee discussion on this bill so that Mark Class, a father of a murdered child who flew in from California to testify in favor of the bill, had to wait 5.5 hours to testify? But that's not the worst part of the story. By the time he finally got up to testify, you had already left the room.
Okay, I'm going to give Senator Frosch 30 seconds to reply. I'm going to give Delegate Brayboy 30 seconds because it's not fair that the other two candidates have more time. And she can speak about anything she wants about that, and then we'll turn to closing statements.
Well, let me say first, John, you voted against Jessica's Law. It's the God's honest truth. You voted against Jessica's Law. And I didn't try to kill a task force on child abuse. The Senate had a plan to make it criminal. We said that reporters who knowingly failed to report child abuse should be subject to criminal sanction. The House sent us back a task force to study it. We didn't need to study it. We know what to do. It's the House that's been the problem.
Delegate Brayboy, what's your view of this general subject?
Well, let me just say this. I think that the people in this state deserve a debate or discussion among the candidates who are running for this very high, very important office on substantive issues that are impacting them. That's why I talk about the issue of foreclosure. It's affecting Maryland families. That's why I talk about the issue of education. You know, one of the bills that I sponsored this year would give children parents who have children with disabilities the ability to fairly fight for the educational rights of their children. These are the issues that Marylanders care about, and these are the issues that I think they deserve to hear about.
Okay. All right. So now it's time for closing statements. And by random selection, prior to the debate, it was determined that Senator Frosch would offer the first closing statement, and the closing statements are 90 seconds. Senator.
Well, thank you all for being here. The question you have to answer is, who has the experience, the skill, and the judgment to be the chief legal officer for the state of Maryland, the person to give wise counsel to our departments and be a zealous advocate for our people? I can promise you that as Attorney General, I will show up and work hard every day. As Attorney General, I will fight to make sure that there are no more Newtowns, that there are no more Columbines, that there are no more Columbia Malls. That's why the Brady campaign against gun violence has endorsed me. I will continue to fight to make our streets and our homes and our schools safer. That's why police, sheriffs, corrections officers, and prosecutors all over the state have endorsed me. I will make sure that every kid in our state has a safe place to learn and gets a quality education. That's why the teachers have endorsed me. I'll fight for consumers and stand up for working families. That's why the AFL-CIO and the SEIU have endorsed me. And I will protect Maryland's Chesapeake Bay and its precious natural resources. That's why the Sierra Club and the League of Conservation Voters have endorsed me. And the two people who know best what it takes to be Attorney General in the state of Maryland, our former Attorneys General, Steve Sachs and Joe Curran, have endorsed me because they know I'll be the people's lawyer. I've also been endorsed by Governor Martin O'Malley, the Washington Post, the Baltimore Sun, tonight by Elijah Cummings and John Delaney. I'm very proud to have all their support. I hope to earn yours as well.
Thank you, Senator Frosch. And now we will hear a closing statement from Delegate Brayboy.
Thank you so much for being here. And I hope that when you leave here this evening, that you will have learned something about why we're running for this office and who will best represent your interests, who is focused on your rights as consumers, as citizens of this state. I, again, not only as a legislator, but I take my time as a lawyer to fight for you. You know, I represent the Grant family who was about to lose their home due to a demolition by the city of Aberdeen. This was a historic property that would have otherwise just been demolished on a Monday morning. On Friday afternoon, I got a call and asked, hello, can you help? I was in my last couple of weeks of session, but instead of me saying, well, I don't have the time, I said, you know what? I don't want to lose this historic property. And so on Monday morning at 8 a.m., I filed an injunction, and that injunction was granted by the court. And now we're able to negotiate with the city of Aberdeen to save that property. You know, the Attorney General is not about making friends, not about special interests. It's about fighting for your rights, standing up for you. I have demonstrated the ability to do that, not only as a lawyer, but as a legislator. And I will stand up for you and your rights only as the next Attorney General. Thank you.
Thank you. No applause yet. No applause yet. Thank you, Delegate Brayboy, because finally we'll hear a closing statement from Delegate Carton.
Thank you very much, Dean, and thank you to all of you for being here. First of all, let me start off with saying that I voted in favor of Jessica's law, and we will have the materials for everybody after this debate. And the reason I voted for it is because I'm interested in protecting our families and our children. I want to end with a story. It's a story about a young girl named Grace. Grace was a promising 15-year-old Howard County student, but Grace was being bullied. It wasn't the kind of bullying you may remember from the schoolyard. She was being bullied over the internet. Every day, for months on end, she was getting threatening emails of sexual assault and rape. She couldn't take it anymore, so she closed her computer down because every time she read an email, she felt like she was getting punched in the gut. She stayed home from school. And her friends would call her at night and say, did you see what he wrote about you on Twitter? What he would do to you if he came to school the next day on Facebook? Tragically, Grace couldn't take it anymore and took her own life 2 years ago, Easter Sunday. But here's what we did about it. With the help of Grace's mom, we passed the toughest anti-cyberbullying legislation in the country. We are now a national leader on keeping our children safe on the internet. My daughter's 2 years old. Before she even learned how to walk, she was already playing music on my wife's iPhone, and she was dialing her grandparents who live in Boston over Skype. The most important job of the Attorney General is to keep Maryland's families safe from the dangers, both new and old. If I'm fortunate enough to win, I will pursue that goal with energy, passion, and vision. I hope you will join me in that pursuit. Thank you.
You just heard Maryland Democratic Attorney General candidates, Delegate Aisha Brayboy, Senator Brian Frosch, and Delegate John Carton, in a debate that took place on Monday at the University of Baltimore Angelus Law Center. Just a reminder that early voting has already begun, so vote, and the primary takes place on Tuesday, June the 24th. To find out where you can vote in early voting, visit the Maryland State Board of Elections website at elections.state.md.us. For thoughts on the segment, tweet me at Mark Steiner, comment on the Mark Steiner Show Facebook page, or email me at steinershow@gmail.com. We have to take a very brief break, but stay with us. When we come back, you'll hear the news, WEAA's news director, Beverly Burke, and we'll visit Everyman Theater and talk about finding a voice. Stay with us.